the HTB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.
Welcome to the AHDB Potatoes Podcast. Farmers in the UK have always been fighting against wet weather conditions, wishing for more sunny days. But have you ever thought about the possibility of growing potatoes in the desert? Well, this is exactly what Brendan Rocky does in Colorado, North America. Join me this episode for a discussion with Brendan, who will be the keynote speaker at the Potato Conference Day, which will be held online on 24th of November. He will speak about the way he farms and what made him choose a non-chemical way of farming. In the second part of this episode, I will speak to Claire Hodge, Senior Knowledge Exchange Manager for Scotland. Claire will speak about the morning session at the Potato Conference, as well as offering a preview of the Spot Winter Results events. My first guest this episode is Brendan Rocky, a third-generation farmer who grows potatoes in Colorado, a region with less than 6 inches of rain a year. Welcome, Brendan.
Hi, thank you.
Can you please tell me more about your farm history?
Yeah, so my grandpa started the farm back in 1938, and my dad and uncle took over after him, and now me and my brother run the operation. We've been doing specialty potatoes for quite a while and doing certified seed for quite a while as well. So those are both things that were brought in when I was in high school on the certified seed, and right after that is when we really started getting into the specialty potatoes.
Over the years, you have managed to reduce your cost and increase your profit margins. How did you make this happen?
Well, I've taken a different approach. A couple of the main things is trying to eliminate synthetic fertilizers and reducing chemical use. I feel like whenever you use those products that they are an expense, and most of the time they end up degrading the system, which is going to end up costing you more money in the long run. So what I've done is I've eliminated those expenses, but what I do now is anytime I spend money, I'm trying to reinvest into the soil and into the system. So now we use things like compost and companion crops. We've got a real integrated system for managing pests in our potatoes. It's all about building the health of the soil, building the health of the plant, and just looking at the system overall. So by doing that, I've drastically reduced my cost of production, but my quantity has stayed relatively the same. And most importantly is the quality of the crop has really improved. So I think too often we get too hung up in looking at the amount of crop we're bringing in from the field, but I will also want to have a high volume of that crop that is going to be able to be sold several months after harvest. So that's one thing that has really contributed to the economics of what we are doing.
How would you compare your farm to others in your area? Are your neighbors following the same system?
I would say we are very unique in what we do. I think most of the guys that are watching from across the road, I think they respect what we're doing, but it's hard finding somebody that wants to take it to the level we are. A lot of guys have tried integrating certain parts of what we're doing. Compost is becoming more common here. Cover crops are becoming more common, but no, I haven't really seen anybody else successfully do the companion crops. And a lot of it is just in order to take this approach, you really have to change your mindset and you have to change the entire system. So that's where a lot of guys, I think, really struggle, is they want to bring in one piece of what I'm doing, but not everything. And when you just bring in one piece into a dysfunctional system, it's still going to fail. So you really have to commit to the overall system. As time goes by, I would say some of the guys that are making some major changes around here, it's really the next generation coming back home to the farm. It's younger farmers. I think they're putting more emphasis on looking at the long term and realizing, you know, they want to farm here for another 40, 50 years, and degrading their soil and using these toxic chemicals is really making it tough to look at the long term. So those are the guys that are really making some positive changes.
When you're saying the overall system, what does it mean?
It's really just taking a completely different approach. I think in agriculture, we've gotten too set in our ways as far as removing life. Whenever we have a problem, we come in with sides, which means to kill. So we're always trying to kill our problems. So what I'm trying to do is bring in a system that's a living system. And when you bring life in, that life supports more life and it all has to work together. So you can't have a living system that's dynamic like that and come in with one side to kill off one part of it because it has an impact on everything else. So it's really about looking at every single piece and how they are integrated and how they work with each other. And when you recognize that life is what binds all of these pieces together, that's the only way that you can move forward with everything in harmony.
You consider that the reason we farm is to sustain life. What started your journey? Why did you choose to look for alternative approaches?
When we first made the changes, it was really my uncle was the one doing the growing the crops at the time. And it was really about, he didn't really like being exposed to the chemicals himself. He didn't like being out at the pivots or with the spray rigs and having to wear this personal protective equipment and really worrying about, you know, reading the labels and all the bad things that could happen if you're exposed to these chemicals. And that was really the catalyst for it. And he just didn't want to be exposed to that stuff anymore. So then he said, well, he recognized that if we don't want to use these chemicals, then we have to change something. Because the trouble is we had a dysfunctional system. So if you remove those chemicals, the system is going to collapse. So you have to really stop, look at the big picture and go back to fundamentals and try to build a system that doesn't rely on these chemicals anymore. And that's really the key.
What are the main challenges to your business today and in the future?
Well, for us, water is our biggest concern. We've made a lot of changes on our farm as far as water. We are farming in a desert, but we get water. When the snow melts in the spring, we get runoff from that. We've been seeing a decrease in the water that's coming back into our aquifer. And so we're making a lot of management decisions based on water. That's really the biggest driving force in this area that got a lot of farmers to go towards cover crops, which is really good because now that we were kind of forced into that because of water, we've seen all the other benefits that come from cover crops. So even if the water was to come back, I think cover crops would still be here for quite a while because guys really recognize the positive value of that. The other concerns are in specialty, just potatoes, just markets are really interesting. We had to dump quite a few potatoes this last spring because when the coronavirus came in, a lot of restaurants got shut down. That's where most of our potatoes were supposed to go. So we ended up losing that market for a while. Things have shifted a little bit. We've recovered in that somewhat. So hopefully we have a better year this year. So, but the number one is water. That's the one that gets all the attention at all the meetings we go to, is always trying to figure out how to keep farming and sustaining livelihoods with less water in this area.
So what methods do you use to reduce water usage?
So cover crops are number one. We used to be on a potato barley rotation. So a barley crop might use 20 to 22 inches of irrigation in order to grow the crop. We immediately switched to cover crops so we could use about 6 inches of irrigation. So that's a huge water savings within that growing season. But then by bringing in the cover crops, we've done so much to add carbon back to our soil and improve our soil structure that has allowed us to be more efficient with our water on the potato year as well. So it's really about improving carbon cycling, getting more carbon, usable carbon into the soil and improving that soil structure, and then just the crops that we're choosing.
What advice would you give to farmers who want to accelerate progress?
I think it's important to go out and find guys that are doing things a little bit differently. I think there's a lot of great models out there already. You don't have to start from scratch. It was very challenging for us when we went down this path because we didn't really have anybody to look to. So that's one reason I do conferences and talk to people about what we're doing, is try to give some people some hope. And I've also learned a lot and integrated a lot of practices on my farm that I learned from guys that are not growing potatoes. So it doesn't have to be specific to the crop you're growing, but really focus on the fundamentals. When you look at soil health, there are things that are very universal. Carbon cycling, soil structure, that applies to all agricultural crops. And it doesn't matter if you're growing in an area that has too little water or too much water. Soil structure is going to help you in either extreme. And I think that's one thing that's very nice.
You've mentioned that you grow seed potatoes. How do you see the future of seed production in America?
Yeah, the biggest challenge we're faced with right now is we're dealing with some new viruses. Well, they're the same viruses that we've always dealt with, but they have mutated. And that has caused a big problem for us here now. So we're having to look at things a lot differently. I think we're going to start to see some shifts in varieties. There's some varieties that we've grown here for 30 years that we can no longer grow because we're dealing with new strains of PBY. So we're being very active in finding new varieties to grow. And then I think managing pests is really critical too. I take a completely different approach to managing aphid in our field. And I think we just have to be really diligent about managing that pest in order to lessen the strain. But yeah, we get interest once in a while as far as exporting seed from this area. I don't think it's a real strong market right now, but it would be nice to see that grow and create some opportunities for us here. We're trying to do a good job and try to grow a really high quality seed potato here. So hopefully that's something that would be appealing to other growing areas.
How do you manage aphids in your crop?
So the main thing for me is, I mean, obviously don't like using insecticides, so I don't go out and just spray aphid, because once you do that, you're doing a lot of damage to beneficial insects. So I really put a large emphasis on beneficial insects and plant diversity. I put a lot of different plants out in my field that provide a food source for beneficial insects. They also need a habitat so they can reproduce and grow, you know, lay their eggs and get very high populations of beneficial insects in my field. But also just simply removing monocultures is very important too. By having different plants in my field, it gives the aphid a place to clean their stylets off. So, you know, the aphid themselves aren't necessarily the threat if there's nothing out there for them to vector. So if I can have a small population of aphid out there, but at least if they are clean and have nothing to spread, that's also going to be beneficial to me. So it's not about just focusing on one part, but just like I said, once again, looking at that big picture in all of the different ways that aphid might impact me.
Brendan, thank you for taking the time for this interview. I think your story will inspire many growers in the UK. I did mention at the beginning of this podcast that you'll be the keynote speaker at the Potato Conference Day on 24th of November. Could you please tell me a bit more about the topics you'll be discussing at this event? I know the whole afternoon session will be dedicated to your story.
Yeah, so I'll go through the big picture, just like kind of what we just talked about, really showing how we used to farm and the negative impacts of that, and then how we've shifted to a system that's bringing more life in. So it's a real systematic approach. And then I will have some breakout sessions. I will focus heavily on integrated pest management, so controlling the aphid. I will also be talking about how we bring cattle and sheep in to graze our cover crops within the center pivots. And then weed management is always one that gets a lot of attention with my talk too, because trying to figure out how to let companion crops thrive in a potato field without taking them out when you're trying to manage weeds, it becomes an interesting subject. So I will talk in greater detail on that one.
That's great. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
I am now joined by Claire Hodge, Senior Knowledge Exchange Manager for Scotland. Welcome, Claire.
Hi, Marie.
Claire, I would like to discuss with you about the Potato Conference Day event and the Strategic Potato Farm Winter Results, which we're going to be referring to as Pot Winter Results. So let's start with next week's event, Potato Conference Day. The morning session of this event will focus on business, market, and consumers. Could you please tell us more about the topics which will be discussed during this session?
Yeah, so next week we were looking at how we connect the consumers to the market and to how this impacts the businesses of potato enterprises in the UK. First of all, we'll start with HDB analysts looking at what data do we hold and how can we respond to changes in the markets that we're seeing. And then we move into looking at with Sandy McGowan from Signet Pep, who will talk about views on Brexit and where do we sit over the next 6 to 12 months. And then we'll move on to Carrie-Anne Lamb, who from Queensland has done Nuffield Scholarship, and she's going to talk to us about what opportunities there are globally for the potato, which is quite exciting. And she also spent some time in the UK looking at our systems. So it's some real nice feedback in what we can do for the future. And then I'll present my Nuffield Scholarship on connectivity in the seed supply chain and where do seed growers sit within the whole system of potato production.
At this event, you'll be talking about connectivity in the supply chain. Are there any specific issues or challenges related to this topic that you will address during your talk?
So as I travelled around, I looked at how people are building their connections to the knowledge and to people or to establish strategic partnerships. And this was ultimately to strengthen their businesses. So I'll bring insight from Kenya, India, Chile, Brazil, and the USA to understand what we can do and where the future of the potato industry, specifically seed, is going.
What about the lunch session? What have you got planned for that part of the day?
During the conference at lunchtime, we'll all be able to get together and celebrate the work of the people in the industry and also the potatoes. So we'll start with a short session, an introduction to the AHB marketing campaigns that have been run over the last 6 months, and especially in response to COVID and its successes and what we can learn going forward. And then something always nice to look forward to is the industry awards, which will be presented, and something that we're all part of. And it's great to celebrate people who've given a lot to the industry that we all enjoy working in.
Moving to the Spot Winter Results events, which will take place in January, could you please offer us an overview of which trials these events will cover?
Spot Winter Results are going to be held in January, as we would normally get together. It's something I really look forward to. This year, we're going to navigate through the loss of chemistry and what new approaches are out there, and all the work that's been done over the summer by our strategic farm hosts. In looking at new approaches to PCN management, desiccation, storage and virus. And we also get a chance to look at irrigation and cultivation systems that can be implemented straight away on farm.
Which trial results do you consider to be the most exciting? What should growers be looking forward to?
For me, the most exciting ones that I'm watching at the moment, and it's really great to be part of, is the developments in desiccation and being able to compare that across the country, because we all experience different weather, different soil types, and different markets and contracts that we're working to. So it's really nice to be able to bring together our farmers from different parts of the country and really explore what's working and what isn't working and what we can do at HDB to help. I also, the second part that I'm really looking forward to is, how do we move forward with PCN? And there's some great technology and science that we can apply to PCN testing, and what can we do in the field to actually make a difference and make sure that we've got something to look forward to in the future. And it's a positive message on PCN.
Thank you for listening. You can find a link to register for the Potato Conference Day event in the description below. This event is free to attend. Thank you.